Hey everybody, it's CJ Graham Jason, Friday the 13th, and you're listening to Kill Pop Culture.
Kill Pop Culture!
I think I found one problem with this whole new, like, standing up thing.
What's that?
I don't have anywhere to sit my beer.
Right in front of you, like I do.
Well, then I have to walk around the microphone to get it.
That's why you set it closer, that way you just lean.
There'll have to be more moments, like when you're just talking, where I can walk over there. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hit my microphone stand, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the fifth and final episode of the 2017 Halloween season.
This was a long Halloween season.
Yeah, well, we lived up to our promise. We said we were going to do 5 episodes this month. Well, we did most all of them in the month of October, but this one carried on even into November. But we predicted that because our shows are pre-recorded.
Right.
And we can only do so much editing so fast. But just consider this your little extended Halloween, if you will.
Yeah.
And this is a good one.
This is one of my favorites.
I mean, we got Jason Voorhees himself on this show. I mean, come on.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
And you know, I thought about, like, sometimes I'll save, like, big headliner stuff to the end of the episode to make them listen to the whole episode first. But, you know, maybe, you know, we're episode 83. We're 83 episodes in. Surely by now, we'll have grabbed their attention enough to where they'll stick around for the whole thing. You might as well stick around. You're already here.
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes I've interviewed people before, and they ask me, like, what minute mark in the show does my interview start? I'm like, at the beginning, because you need to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You need to listen to the whole show, people. That's work hard on it.
Yeah, that's
and you might miss something.
Yeah, we might have some kind of hidden message or something in there for you, or something for you to look for.
That wouldn't be that technical. We got some announcements. We have a show. Kill J actually has a show November the 18th.
Yes, we do. And that's
Iuka. Isn't that the same day Justice League comes out?
No, it comes out the 17th. We're going to try to watch Justice League the day before.
I don't know. I may have to watch it that next week. Which, you know, there's some movies that I want to see so bad that I have to see them right then. But I hate sitting in packed theaters. Like,
yeah.
Because you got to get there super early to get a decent seat.
Maybe we could get a Saturday matinee or something. The number one reason why I won't go to movie theaters and watch movies much anymore is because you can't pause it if you have to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. How spoiled we've gotten. Anyway, that's going to be an Iuka, as you said. It's Jed's birthday bash. Jed is the bass player for Roses on Red. And it will feature Roses on Red, Killjay, Green River Killers. Remember we had Jameson on the show.
Yeah.
Seeking Seven, of course, we've had Seeking Seven on the show in many forms. So, and Roses on Red, too.
Yeah.
We've had, those are all Kill Pop Culture alumni. It's a $5 cover. Doors open at 7 p.m. The address is 109 Spring Street, Iuka, Mississippi.
And it's open invitation. Everybody come out.
Yep. Dude, I mean, $5 for four bands? That's like $1.15 a band.
Yeah, you can't beat that with a stick.
I'm sure my math is perfect on that, too. It's $1.25 a band.
Yeah, you're close. $1.15, $1.25. There was only like 6 cents.
Close enough. All right, other announcements. I made myself a few little shorthand notes here. On this episode, we also have our walkthrough at the Reich House in Aberdeen that we did. I apologize for the background noise. There was another group doing a walkthrough that started right before us, and there's a lot of bleed over, especially at the beginning. It kind of gets better, especially when we go upstairs and we're away from them. But
yeah.
It's kind of a noisy house. There's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, there's not a lot of furniture or anything in there to absorb the
sound. Yeah, it's real echoey. Yeah. But we had a good time doing that. We didn't really catch a whole lot of paranormal stuff. If we had gotten an EVP, you probably wouldn't have been able to hear it. Because you see how quiet it was when we got the little whisper at the Greg Hamilton house.
Yeah. But then again, our listeners are trying to listen for stuff. We did all that.
Yeah,
now,
we figured that out. They listen for it.
Y'all might find something that we just overlooked or something. Because that happens sometimes.
We did get some green, would you call them orbs? They just like little green lights that showed up in a lot of our pictures.
Yeah,
green balls.
It's some kind of energy. I mean, because you know, like I said, how I feel about orbs. I mean, a lot of orbs and stuff in places like that, Lemon Pledge would take care of.
But they were green, though.
I've never seen that.
It just looked like a little green light, and sometimes there was a pattern of them.
Yeah.
And, like,
they were in different places. It wasn't just
like in the stairwell, like, it would move.
Yeah. That very well could be something, because I do believe there are, you know, light energies and stuff out there, too.
And then one big thing, I guess, that I kind of forgot about till I went back and edited this is, and I'll have to set the scene for you because, you know, you can't see, you can only hear, but we're, like, we gather in the first room that you walk into through the front door, and this is an old house, obviously, and it's the big, heavy wooden door, and it's the kind of doorknob that, like, clicks, and it's got, like, a handle and a thumb
hitch. Yeah, like the clasp.
That you push down, like, it's a well-made, heavy. And it clicks really loud when you shut it.
Yeah.
And we're all standing there, and the door's obviously shut good, because you hear the click, like somebody pushed it down, and the door just opened.
Yeah.
And we're like, hello.
Yeah, and it ended up doing it, I think, twice while we were there.
Yeah, it's not like it was shut good, because you could actually hear the click when somebody pushes the thing down to release the little slider thing.
Yeah.
So I thought that was, like, pretty... I was like, whoa, what's up with that? Obviously, at the Greg Hamilton house, we call it an EVP, and, you know, I'm still kind of freaked out by that, because, like I said, one thing I want to be clear about, that was not a disembodied voice.
Right.
A disembodied voice would just be a voice that just start. You would hear it when it happened.
Yeah.
I didn't hear this when it happened.
No.
And I'm still trying to figure out what you were doing. Were you singing or humming?
No, I was.
Who were you talking to?
I was in the other room talking about how, because I thought you were like right behind me, and I was talking about how I wish we had, you know, a house with the hidden room doors. You know, because you open it looks like a sliding closet, and then one side's a closet, and the other side there's a whole other room in there.
Well, to set this up, you can hear us walking up the stairwell, because we're clonking and making all kind of noise. But you got just a little bit ahead of me, and then when we got to the very top of the stairwell, I stopped, and you continued into the next room, and I had that digital thermometer, that infrared thermometer, and I was just pointing and clicking on stuff, and just taking temperature readings to see if there was any kind of variation. Of course, I didn't hear anything at the time. And we went on, and we actually tried to invoke an EVP, which is ironic because we got nothing. We were like, hey, does anybody want to say hey? Little did I know. And they had already said hey. And we listened to this back once, but we were in Kalash Jeep, and it was noisy. And We were talking.
Going down the road.
So when I go back and edit this, and I've added the compression, which is just some plugins you put in the software to make the audio a little smoother, makes it pop a little bit. And I've got my earbuds in, and I just heard that hey, that little whisper. And I was like, I was like a little confused and like kind of freaked out. And I was like, did I just hear that? Seriously? Like, really? And I immediately thought, like, we just tried, like, right after that to get an EVP and couldn't. So I thought we struck out. And, you know, one thing I want to make clear to everyone is I was in there by myself. You could obviously hear you in the next room. Yeah. Tracy was downstairs. If somebody had been trying to, like, fake this, I'm the only person that could have been faking it. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think that sounds like me.
No, definitely not.
In fact, I'm trying to figure out, and Tracy asked me this, if she thought that's a male or female voice, and I can't really tell because it's a whisper.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as, and it's so faint. And who was it that pointed out, was it Kella, that no matter how much I brought up the audio, it's like the hey stays the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't get louder or softer, really. I guess maybe because the background noise comes up with it.
Yeah, you had to get some kind of noise reduction in that or something.
But when you're really quiet, and I forget where it's at in the podcast, but I put an editor's note.
Yeah, it's like,
and I played it like three times in a row. So my question is, now that we've caught more than one EVP on this show, can we like tell people we've had a ghost on the show? Like when we list off people that have been on our show,
right?
We'd be like Ari Salvadori, Michael Sweet from Stropper, a ghost.
Yeah, two of them.
We're going to add that to the list.
The Hamilton Gregg ghost.
But I want to thank everybody that let us come check out the places through this Halloween season. We're already lining up stuff for next year. Well, actually, at Kill Pop Culture, I don't think we ever stopped working on Halloween because it's such a big month for us. We didn't get to do everything we had planned on this year. Some of the stuff just didn't line up. But it's just going to get tabled to next year.
Right.
And we did get to do some stuff we didn't know we'd get to do. So I thought everything went great. I had a good time. We are taking a short break after tonight's episode. I feel like we'll probably, when we say break, I mean, we really mean a break. And we'll probably just be doing less shows because we're going to be working on the Kill J album. Shameless promotion bill in there. And we're going to be actually working on the podcast behind the scenes, doing some new stuff, some really cool stuff that we'll be announcing as it starts developing further along.
Yeah, so you definitely want to stay tuned for that because, you know, it's some pretty cool shit.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump into this interview that we did with CJ Graham. He was so cool. We did this interview a few weeks ago. I wanted to save it. So when he does his plugs, I think there was one or two things that may have already happened by the time this airs, but some of the stuff hasn't. So anyway, he was a super cool guy. He answered all our questions. He answered the fan questions that came in. I can't say enough nice things about him. I hope to have him on the show again.
You know, and I love all our interviews that we do, but he was definitely one of my favorites to have been a part of because he was so personable with you.
Yeah, and you know, CJ is in a position where, I mean, the guy, he owns or runs a casino, right? In real life. You could tell he does it because he's
passionate about it.
Yeah. He loves the fact that he was Jason, and I would too. I think it's awesome. And here's that interview we did with him after a pause for the calls. I wanted to take a quick minute to tell everyone where they can find Kill Pop Culture online and what we call the list.
You just made the list!
Thank you, Chris Jericho. We're on Facebook.com/KillPopCulturePodcast. Our Twitter is @KillPopC. You can open your Instagram app and search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on there as well. Our Podomatic website is killpopculture.podomatic.com. You can download the Podomatic app. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We're on Google Play. You have to go to Google Play Music and then search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, player.fm, soundcloud.com/killpopculture. To find our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture.
You just made the list!
Go to advertisecast.com to find out how you, yes you, can be a part of Kill Pop Culture by way of advertisement. And last but not least, you can send us an email anytime at killpopculture69@gmail.com.
You just made the list!
Awesome. Well, I have on the line Mr. CJ Graham, Jason Lives himself. Man, I sure appreciate you calling in. I know this. I can imagine this time of year is pretty busy for you. I know your schedule is probably pretty packed, isn't it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've only been back about 15 hours from Liverpool, England.
Oh, wow. How was that?
Had a great time. Got a lot of big fan base over there in the United Kingdom, so it was my first time there. Plus, it was kind of interesting because, of course, Liverpool, England is where the Beatles originate, of course. So it was kind of fun to be on their turf and go through their town and take a look at it.
You a big fan of the Beatles?
I was to a point. I mean, it's 60s, 70s, that was my era, you know, so I can relate to it. But I think more importantly, it's just the iconic music that was put forth. Now it just kind of materialized after the fact. And the same thing with the Jason character, Friday the 13th, going back 35, 36 years ago to the first one, and then here we are that many years later, and we're still talking about it. So it's had a positive impact.
Exactly. Man, your portrayal of Jason, it really, I think, set the standard going forward in that franchise, simply because Jason being brought back to life, he's now more powerful, he's kind of more supernatural, he's not just a human, and being that Jason changed during Jason Lives, did that give you more room for creativity and allow you to make that your own?
Yeah, you know, I mean, looking at it 30, 31 years later, you didn't realize, you know, what we were doing, but Tom McLaughlin really had a vision for the Jason character, and everybody still talks about it today, the part 6, which is still a very popular part of the series. You know, but I think the nice part about it is that Tom wrote and directed it, and Paramount Studios gave him a clean slate to do whatever he wanted, as long as he didn't make fun of Jason.
Right.
So Tom McLaughlin was a big horror fan back in the 50s and 60s, and I'm talking about black and whites like Dracula, Frankenstein, Werewolf, and those types of films, The Mummy, Boris Karloff, Lon Chaney. So he kind of had that in his background. So when Tom sat down with me, what Tom was looking for was a combination of all those four characters of the 70s into a Jason, and then he got to throw a little humor into it to make it interesting for the fans. And on top of that, when he was doing, you know, giving me direction as to what he envisioned, he allowed me to use my physical structure to dominate and control the screen when I stepped into the frame.
Jason definitely has a saunter or a cadence to his walk. I really like the way, it might sound silly to say I like your walk, but that's a big part of Jason, because everybody's running, but he's got this straightforward stride that's never broken that just seems really intimidating, and I think you nailed that out of the park.
And I think that's a big factor about the Jason character. You know, I was in the military, so you always learn to march 30 inches all around, and today I still walk of similarity with that authoritative. I didn't do anything outside the norm, but again, being 6'3", 245, 250, you know, you get to pretty much walk the way you want.
Right.
Most people see you coming from a distance, good and bad, unfortunately, but I think it also led to giving me the opportunity to take Jason to another level of science.
Right. Whenever you're in a theater, when I'm in a movie theater watching a Friday the 13th movie, when Jason Voorhees comes onto the screen, everybody erupts in applause. And when there's a kill about to happen, everybody's like, "Oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait to see how he does it." So in a twisted, I guess, kind of way, Jason has become the hero and the villain. Is that kind of a tug of war going on to portray? I mean, you're the bad guy, essentially, but you're also the guy that everybody's rooting for.
Yeah, but I think you're right. And I think what's occurred is, if you go back into the series, you know, the principal actors and actresses were the camp counselors, and Jason, for whatever reason, going all the way back to part one, was somewhat insignificant in the actual movie. And then as the movie picked up a little momentum, and then part three, the hockey mask became part of it, Jason kind of took over as the principal of the film. I mean, people go to see The Kills, they go to see The Counselors, but we all know their number one reason they're going is to see the hockey masked, the homicidal killer.
Right. And I feel kind of weird rooting for the bad guy, but you can't help it. I mean, it's such an iconic character that people, like I said, and I've been in theaters before where it literally, the first time you see Jason, it's the whole theater just starts clapping, like they're at a football game or something.
Yeah, well, Jason's the underdog. I mean, indirectly it is. And that's the cool thing about the Jason character. It's taken on its own genre. You know, a lot of people, when I say this before, everybody knows Tom Cruise, and I'm happy for him. However, if you say C.J. Graham, nah. Kane Hodder, nah. However, if you say, well, you know the Friday the 13th movie, the guy with the hockey mask? Jason! Everybody knows Jason, and when they're able to put two to two together, they realize it equals four, and it has the iconic flow worldwide, just like a mainstream actor. So I think it's kind of cool.
Where and what time of year did y'all shoot Jason Lives?
We did it in early spring, and we did it in Covington, Georgia, which is about 30 miles outside Atlanta.
Was that water cold that time of year?
Yeah, well, we did. The water scenes were shot in three different pools in the Los Angeles market and one lake, if that's what you want to call it, a stagnant lake in Covington. So they were all cold no matter what. And I think the Covington one was the most challenging because we're shooting at night and nobody really knew what was at the bottom of the lake. It was just, CJ, you see that boat? I want you to walk out to it forcibly and go underwater. Not knowing, you know, you're in Georgia. There's leeches, there's water moccasins, you know. Nobody ever thought about it. I didn't either, just charged the boat.
So when you got set on fire during that scene where Tommy's trying to get the chain around your neck, that's on location, that's not in a tank?
Yeah, well, the setting on fire, like I said, I used three different pools. There's a Olympic-sized diving pool, 20 feet deep, for all the deep water stunts where I'm chained down. The fire gig is done on the pool next to it, where the water probably comes up to right below my waist. And then, of course, there's the scene at the end where Jason's face gets whacked by the propeller. That was actually done in Tom McLaughlin's mother and father's swimming pool in the backyard.
Oh, wow. And that's you. You did all your stunts. Like, you got set on fire. You really got drowned, essentially. That was you in the chain at the lake. That was all real.
Yeah, that was the kind of the requirement, of course, is, you know, Jason has to do all their own stunts, and that's why you're not looking for a face, so to speak. You're looking for a physical characteristic and somebody that has the capabilities of doing their stunt work. To be fair to me, and I'm very proud of it, I think we delivered on the screen. But I've never done a stunt in my life, just so you know. That was my first time ever doing any of those stunts or ever doing them. I never trained for them. I just stepped onto the screen and delivered.
Were you more nervous about being set on fire or being underwater, chained down?
Underwater. Set on fire was interesting because, again, you know, you're standing in, you know, 4 or 5 foot of water, you back into the flame, you light yourself on fire, even though you only can see out of one eye, as the heat gets intensified, you have a choice to put yourself out. So you're fully in control. Now, being 20 feet underwater, chained down by a real chain, which has been screwed up to your neck, so there's no way you're going to get out, you have to depend 100% on the safety divers to give you a regulator to breathe off of when you signal for air. That one, hopefully, the safety divers and the people you work for like you, because it would only take, you know, 5-10 seconds without the air getting to you that you start inhaling water, and then they've still got to get that chain off your neck, so it's got to be unscrewed, get to the surface, and then see where you're at as far as stress, as far as if you're going to make it.
So you didn't even have your own regulator, like, underneath the mask or anything. You had to wait for them to give you oxygen.
Exactly.
Wow, that would be terrifying.
Yeah,
it would signal for air, and once I signaled, they'd have to swim in about 10 feet outside the camera frame, because you're shooting, and get air to me as quickly. So I would hold my breath and do the scene as long as I could, hoping that I had enough left to wait until the air got into my mouth. Those regulators, they would just push it right into my mouth because I couldn't see anything, and clear it for me, so oxygen would go right into my lungs immediately.
Wow, that does sound... I don't know if I could do that. By today's standards, I don't even know if they would do stunts like that now. I mean, I know they do tank work, but I don't know if they would... Surely they would try to rig up a system like hid under your mask or something for you to breathe nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, back in those days or today's day, I had never been through stunt school or done a stunt. So, yeah, I was just assuming everybody was doing their job, and as long as they did their job, we could... you know, perform and give them a product that was of quality.
About how much time did you spend in the makeup chair every day preparing?
Well, when we first started the film, and remember, the film is shot out of sequence, but at the very beginning of the film, it's a full prosthetic hood, so there's several appliances that are applied, and those took about two and a half hours. But once we got to the point where Jason donned the hockey mask again, the front of the hood was cut out, so it simplified the process down to about less than an hour.
The scene where you're resurrected, where they're digging your body up, with all the maggots on your face and stuff, was that like for real? Like you laying there and maggots all over your face? Or
well, the cool thing about that, Jeremy, is that I got to I was on set. There's a secondary unit doing some hand shots and some different things.
Right.
And a good example is at the very beginning when the coffin is opened and you see Tommy's hands going to reach for the coffin and break the seal,
yeah,
and a little bit of poop comes out.
Yeah,
that's actually Tom McLaughlin's hands. The director was already done shooting, and that was a pickup shot that they wanted to add to it. So rather than wait for the actor to come back, since it was a pair of hands, Tom McLaughlin did that.
Oh.
So I was already on set doing a shot. So the secondary unit picked up the maggot shot, and Chris, from a company called Real Effects, who did part of my makeup with Brian Wade, he volunteered to be the dummy, so to speak, and they put the makeup and the prosthetics around his eye, and they put real maggots on him, and then they had what's called a maggot wrangler with a Q-tip keeping the maggots out of his eye.
That's insane. See,
that's an interesting career to have, the maggot wrangler.
To me, that would probably be just as bad as being under the water and not having your own way to breathe or anything, you know. I don't know, that scene was just, it was really disgusting, but it made for that scene. It was great. But I was just like, I don't think I could do that. So I'm glad you didn't have to do that.
Well, it was like, you know, I was happy for Chris. Go do it, big guy. You know what I mean? So he did take the one for the team that day.
Awesome.
I've always thought of Part 6 is hands down my favorite Friday the 13th movie. I just thought it was a perfect storm, and it came at the perfect time. There was a lot of fans disliked Part 5 just because it didn't have Jason in it. And Part 6 comes out. It brings Jason back. It changes things up. You got a great story, great actors. The poster was awesome, and the music was such a big part of it. And you actually got... Now, did you do those scenes in the Alice Cooper video?
Yeah, the thing that's really neat about working with Alice Cooper is we did some photo opportunities also, where we did some promo photo shots. And I always give Kane Hodder a hard time. Kane is a friend of mine. He did Part 7, 8, 9, and 10 as Jason. And he likes to choke people at the conventions when he takes his photograph with them. And I used to tell him I had that copyrighted, and he would say, "No, you don't." I said, "Yeah, I do. I was the first one to do it." He goes, "No, no, no, it's my move." So I pulled out these prints that I have of me choking Alice Cooper. And he kind of just put his head down and said, okay, you're right. But I always give him a hard time because he's trying to steal my moves. But... you know, you take a look at the franchise and the way things are done. I was very fortunate asked Jason to do what I did in part six. And the reason I say I was very fortunate is I had a few things the other Jasons didn't have. I had Alice Cooper, who is a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, doing music for the movie. That's cool. I mean, how can you beat that, right?
Absolutely.
The other thing is, I had a utility belt like Batman.
Yeah. You had tools, accessories.
So, again, how cool is that? I also got the iconic opening like James Bond. That's another cool factor. And then I got to come back as Jason, like Frankenstein, in the old Lon Chaney, Boris Karloff type of movies with the lightning bringing Frankenstein back to life, and now nobody can stop him. So you put those four together, and then a little bit of humor inside, it really set the tone for the Jason of Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Yeah, just like Mark said, it made for the perfect storm.
Yeah, exactly. Pun intended. What you brought up Kane Hodder. One of the differences between his Jason and yours is that he breathes, and your Jason didn't breathe, did it?
No, and I always told him when I saw him, I said, what are you doing? And it was too late because he was trying to get his own interpretation, but Jason is dead, technically, so I don't remember ever seeing a dead Frankenstein breathe, but that was his way to show his force, and that's how he, once he did it in part seven, he was locked into it through the whole series, so that's kind of his signature that he put into it. But I did give him a hard time about that years ago. I said, guy's dead, why are you breathing? And he was like, oh yeah, good point.
I guess it was a good way to show when Jason was agitated. He would kind of look like he was just smoldering, like he was angry. He would do that. Did you actually hold your breath when you were doing your scene so that it didn't appear that you were breathing at all? Was that like a subconscious thing?
No, I really didn't. I mean, again, it's just control of breathing. I'm a big guy to begin with, so breathing for me is a necessity. But I don't really capitalize on big breaths. I've always been just a very sturdy. When I used to run, you know, in the military, you'd have to run 4 miles every morning. I never got breathed it hard. You know, I'd be 2 miles in the run, and I'd still be singing cadence and just not even thinking about it. So my lungs have always worked well. I've never smoked in my life or anything, so I think that also helps. But no, I didn't hold my breath or anything. I'm breathing, but I breathe through my my stomach, not directly in my chest. And again, 6'3", 245, 250, I've already got some overwhelming size on those people.
Yeah, that really translated well on film. And a scene that I recall in particular is the scene where you're facing off with the sheriff and he's shooting you with a shotgun and you're kind of face-to-face with him. And your size is definitely, it's just right to be intimidating. Like, yeah, like you're not Incredible Hulk taller, but you're bigger than him, than the average person, and I think that translated well to the screen.
Yeah, and I think that was Tom McLaughlin's intent. He didn't want him to be comical. He wanted him to just be a large figure that was feasible, possible, and be able to throw the intimidation factor as he walked towards you. But as you take a look at it, my posture is just, it's a little different, and it's kind of a natural posture, you know, after being in the military and learning how to march and stand, and I just learned how to stand at attention, and when you're in the military, you can't stand there and breathe, you're supposed to stand at attention and control your breathing, so everybody looks uniformity in the platoon.
Right. We got a couple of fan questions that were sent in, but first I wanted to ask you real quick about some of these con appearances you've been doing in full costume, right?
Yeah, what we did is, in the last couple years, I've got a lot of requests to do wardrobe. Again, part six wardrobe really fills in the shoes, so to speak, of what the Jason character represents. And some of the fans and I got together that work with special effects and wardrobe and helped me develop the wardrobe to match spot on the accuracy of the film. And since I knew everything about the film, I remembered the wardrobe, I remembered that it was a Vietnam-era shirt, OD green it's called, a Vietnam-era khaki pants, combat boots, the pistol belt it's called, a web belt, 30 caliber holster for the darts, and a good old 18-inch Vietnam-era machete. we were able to assemble everything down to within, I would say, close to 100% accuracy. And the other thing that was really interesting about it was we used the photos that I had from behind the scenes to make sure that we had all the spear marks in the right place. When I first got the shirt from one of the guys that was treating it, it only had 6 holes in it. So I took a picture of it, sent it back to him, and said, here's a photograph with 7 holes. You're missing one in the left chest.
Oh,
so
wow.
We added the 7th hole to make sure that there was continuity. What we did is we picked a version of it because throughout the film, everything shifts. The 357 hole, there's blood on the mask sometimes. All of the murdering utensils are still there. So we picked the very beginning. The decapitation is done, and Jason now has a machete, and the arm has been discarded. That is when we put everything together from that scene.
When you first put that costume back on for the first time, did it feel very nostalgic, or was it sort of like, well, here we go again?
You know, it felt normal.
Just felt natural?
Normal. I mean, it was, once I put it on, everything just clicked. Kind of going back to your last question, it was like, you know, we did the wardrobe photo opportunities for the fans because the fans really wanted to take a photo with Jason, and it almost is the fact that Jason just stepped off the film to take photos with the fans and then go back on set. And that was the purpose. You know, so the fans are the ones that requested me to put the wardrobe on, don the wardrobe, and, you know, it's very successful. If you've seen some of the photos that have been taken at the different conventions, I've had a lot of people Photoshop it and add it to their own background of camp scenes or campgrounds or different things with the Crystal Lake billboard or Camp Blood, some with, you know, Green Forest. So everybody's been able to take it and do what they want. But the first thing they all agree on, it's spot on. It's just like, wow. You know, because when they see me like I am now talking and then I put the wardrobe on, it's like a switch. I do change my whole personality. Number one, I'm not going to talk to you when you step up to me. And number two, you don't want to step up to me because now I've become larger than life.
Right.
But I do get a hold of your collar and I do pull you into me. And when you're about to be plunged with a hunting knife or a spear or a machete, those faces of fear on the film where people take their photograph, they're kind of real. People are shocked to see how scary it looks when you're standing on top of Jason in wardrobe.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get into a couple of the fan questions that were sent to us for you. Our buddy Sean sent one, and it was the scene in the Volkswagen where you stabbed through the windshield of that car. He had said that he had saw a behind-the-scenes thing that indicated that they toned it down for the gore.
And that's a good question. And you said it was from Sean?
Yeah, Sean.
Sean, that's a great question. Actually, Sean, a lot of the angles were toned down because in those days, to have too much blood, you'd have to have a rating of X. And in those days, Friday the 13th wasn't real popular with the studios. So, but it's not that it's toned down, but there is a scene where I take the spear and I plunge it through the Volkswagen window. Well, two things. Number one, it's a real solid spear, and it's a real Volkswagen window. So there's no movie magic there. That's just pure adrenaline and force of me coming at that Volkswagen with a spear and forcibly putting it through the window, shattering the window. And as Tom McLaughlin would say, he told me to go right over the driver's wheel, but unfortunately, you know, as the actor that turned into the stunt person blocked and went down under the seat where the passenger is, I naturally, momentum had me follow my target. So, you know, that's where your soldier comes back out in you. And I did barely breeze the stunt guy, Michael Nomad, because as I went down, I actually went right through the back seat of the passenger into the back of the Volkswagen from just the force and the power of going forward.
Yeah, we had actually heard that from one of those behind-the-scenes interviews before. his next question is, when you broke the whiskey bottle with your hand, did it break perfectly on that first try?
Yeah, the one where you took the bottle from the guy and broke it and then stabbed him with it? Was that yeah. one take?
Yeah, what, Sean, that's a really good question. No, it had to be broke three times because it was a breakaway bottle, and you don't know where it's going to break. You're just hoping it breaks where it shows some uniformity, so it shows a piece that's being plunged into the neck of the gravedigger. The interesting thing is I have a photo of that I put on my tables, and it almost looks like I'm taking a selfie because of the size of iPhones now. In my hand as I break it. So I've been tempted to put a phone in that just to say I'm taking a selfie because that's how it looks in the photograph.
My sister wanted me to ask you, have you ever had a nightmare about yourself as Jason?
Well, tell your sister I have not
okay.
had a nightmare, but I do every once in a while think about them because when you're doing a convention and here and there, you know, the fans are the one that reminds you of all the scenes. And you don't think about it as detailed as your sister might or Sean might. But it's amazing, again, going back to the wardrobe, I wanted to make sure the wardrobe was spot on because a fan will tell you that button should be here, that pocket should be there.
Right.
So you want to make sure you do it right because you don't want to look bad and you don't want to take away from the character and the performance that you did or you'd like to think you did so well in 1986.
Right. Yeah, those fans, they would definitely know if one thing was off. She also wanted me to ask you, what is your greatest fear in real life? I think she thinks it would be funny if a big scary guy that played Jason Voorhees was scared of something silly like mice or spiders.
No, I don't think I have a problem there because I live in the desert, so I can go outside right now and find a tarantula.
Oh, goodness.
So, and I've come around the corner and ran into a rattlesnake, so that isn't, you know, and occasionally I'll, you know, go outside and lift up something, there's a scorpion. So I don't think the bug is, it's always, I think that the fear of the unknown, of the uncontrollable, and I think if you think about ghosts and real ghosts, but things you don't know, things you can't control, you know the song, things that go bump in the night.
Right.
I think those scare everybody.
Of course, yeah, for sure. I've only got a couple more questions for you, and then I want to get to your plugs. Some of the most iconic kill scenes in Jason's career, if you will, as a killer, I think any fan would agree with me. Two of the greatest ones are in the movie you did. One of them is pushing the girl's face through the RV, and obviously the other one would be folding the sheriff in half backwards. Tell us a little bit about doing those scenes and how they came across as so awesome and gruesome.
Well, I think one of the questions that people like to ask is, what's my favorite kill? And I do like the sheriff best, and it's because it's not bloody. There's right. not a lot of guts. I mean, anybody can pull a head off or squeeze a head or break an arm off, but to physically take a body and snap it like that, like a piece of kindling, that's cool. The second piece is with Darcy putting her head into the wall. That's a very great stunt in itself, not to mention the production, how they did the special effects with having a cast of her head and then putting it into a suction of plastic that's heated up and it just goes right into her. I think that's just amazing. That was some good film work on the part of the special effects crew, real effects, that did that. But I really believe some of the kills would have been more exciting if they'd allowed us to put a little bit more into it. The scene where the heart is pulled out at the very beginning, and you see the heart momentarily, there was a longer scene where the heart was still beating and the blood was popping out of the artery. And of course, we had to cut that. And in those days, they used to just cut it, lose it, it's gone forever. Today's world, the director's cut, they keep all that tape and put it on the shelves for re-release years
right.
later with the director's cut.
The extended edition or whatever, yeah, yep. For sure. Aside from Friday the 13th Part 6, what is your all-time favorite horror movie?
Are there others?
You know, I don't think there is. That's a good answer.
I'm a big fan of all four of the primary horror characters. And those in the old days were Werewolf and Dracula and Frankenstein and Mummy. I was a big fan of those four big ones, the genre back then. And in today's, even through the 80s, the 90s, and 2000s, I really believe that Michael Myers, Leatherface, Jason, and Freddy Krueger have carried that genre of those four, the four Musketeers, on.
Absolutely.
So I think those four are the ones I look at. I like the films that are out there, It, The Hills Have Eyes, etc. But I think those four principles are the ones that have carried on past the 60s and the 50s of the Lon Chaney, Boris Karloff days. So I'd have to at least put those three together with the Friday the 13th.
Last question. What is a sort of similar theme there? Aside from Friday the 13th Part 6, what is your favorite Friday the 13th movie? What's your number two favorite?
I like Part 7. And the reason I like Part 7, it stayed with the mainstream of Jason still being at the lake. I think the idea of Laura Park Lincoln bringing him back from the bottom and being just as powerful and still being in his area, I think I liked it. The special effects were good. I will tell you, I did like the character setup in Part 8. I didn't necessarily jump all over the fact that, you know, he wasn't at Camp Crystal Lake, but I did like the wardrobe because it had the same similarities to Jason in Part 6 and the Jason in Part 7.
Right.
You know, but I will say the one thing about the Part 7 is it was a very complicated wardrobe because they did so much special effects with him being all chewed up from being under the water for so long. I think the Part 8 wardrobe, I think, was a more appealing to most of the Jason fans.
Right on. Well, let's get to some plugs, man. Can you tell us where you're going to be next and give us your websites and social media?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook, CJ Graham. Everybody's welcome to join. But I do have the Boston Mega Horror Convention coming up, not this Friday the 13th, but the following weekend up in Boston, obviously. And then the following week after that, a couple days before Halloween, I'll be at the Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. And then I think right after that, I go to Crypticon in Minnesota. And then I'm going to take a break and relax until February of 2018.
Is that usually when things start to kick back up? You get a couple of months break during the holidays?
I think it's more of a choice. You know, there are events going on. I think it's just, I look at those as just time to relax and get back. I have committed for Monster Mania in March of next year, 2018. I have committed for Texas Frightmare in May of 2018 at this time.
Right on. I appreciate again you calling in. I'd love to have you back on sometime. I had a really good chat with you.
Absolutely.
They should have gave me parking. They should have gave me speaking parts. I can speak.
Yeah, for sure.
Very well.
Definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Germ, talk to you later, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks. You. You have a good evening.
Thanks, brother.
You too.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
The house was built in 1902 by Walter and Claudia Carlton. Actually, today makes the anniversary of Walter Carlton. He died October 27th, 1936. His wife Claudia died June the 22nd, 1944. Both of their funerals were held here in the home in this room.
Okay.
And this was, that was the receiving room. This was the parlor. Coffins are here. We do know that for sure.
Was that pretty normal back then to do your funeral in your house?
It was. Okay. Very much.
embalming.
Right. So it was common to have the home, the bodies placed within the home, and have the wakes. And when that, where that term came from, they would place them here in the Bay of Mendes. The families would actually sit up with them all night. Sometimes they would attach bells to them to make sure
they were really dead.
They were really dead.
If I heard the bell ringing, I would leave. Like, well, gotta go.
But that was the way, you know, to confirm if they didn't hear the bell ring.
It's okay to bury them?
Yeah, if they were really dead.
Well, they didn't have the medical technology.
Exactly. I mean, this is turn of the century, early 1900s. They didn't have the things that we have today.
Right.
And they also surrounded this room in flowers and candles to smother the smell of the decaying corpse, because, you know, once rigor mortis sets in, it stinks.
Yeah.
It really stinks, and they would keep, they had to keep the body here for people to come in, family, friends to come in from far away. You know, it didn't, couldn't zoom over here in a car. If you came from Amory, it was a good day, day and a half travel.
Yeah.
Didn't take 20 minutes. So, once again, this is what, and they both died in the home. They were both had their services and wakes here. The women were seated first. The chairs were lined up from here all the way into the receiving area. The men were outside. Most of the men did not come into the funerals, believe it or not. They were walked back out this way. And
so this would be a receiving room.
Yes, ma'am. This is the grand dining room.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
The highlights in here is the Godly Sewing. All of the windows, our bays, our bridge, all the marble floors, the doors. This is the main area. Pass, everybody hung out here. This is what he refers to as his seance room.
I gotta get a picture of the seance room for sure.
Yeah.
This is what we were telling y'all about, the seance room.
Yep.
This is it.
Yeah.
And you'll get a chance to experience how they do that in just a minute. And it's something you will never see before. Oh, yes, an original.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go upstairs. This back part of the house we really don't do as a tour. That's just added on. That's just the kitchen. That's not the original kitchen.
Okay.
So you don't have to.
So all this back part is add on? Okay.
The kitchen.
So the house stopped like right there where she's standing.
The kitchen was totally separate from the house, and it's way back there.
Okay.
You know, because it was so hot, and they didn't actually include it in the house.
Gotcha.
But it is out there.
Awesome. Why don't we have video of that? For audio purposes, the front door just opened while we were standing there.
You could hear it click in earnest. I thought somebody had walked outside.
Hey, if that's a ghost coming in, they need to pay their money.
Yeah.
They need to sign.
A ghost up. Showing up for the ghost tour. Hey, there's your doll, Germ. Yay.
That's why I did it.
Hey, y'all.
That's why it's heavy in here.
That's why it's heavy in here.
Okay, let me check out this room.
We need that right here for that doll.
I think it's just because I walked up a staircase, but it seems harder to breathe.
No, it's me too, and it's because I'm almost 60 and fat.
No, it's heavy in here.
Yeah, I feel it.
So it's not just me.
No, I feel it. It's heavy.
Let me tell you about this room. First time we visited this room, I'm sensitive. I pick up on stuff. I could not stay in this room very long. I got nauseous. I got dizzy. I got off balance. I had to leave. The minute I stepped over the threshold back to the hallway, I was fine. I couldn't
come back in. Because I thought, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just came up the stairs. I saw.
No.
Little bitty.
I honestly believe there was a lady that lived here after the Carltons. She lived here with her daughters and her grandfathers. And her name's Miss Lockhart. I knew immediately, without him telling us, she suffered a long illness. I told him that before he told me that. And he said, okay. She did. She had a 10-month illness, and she died in this room.
Did they do our funeral there, too?
Huh?
Did they do our funeral there, too?
No. She died in the 50s. So by that time, they had a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Are those windows or doors? You can open
it. It's a window. It's that kind of window that you could
step out. You can actually open it all the way. Yeah. It's
your window.
Just walk right out to the window.
Walk right out to the bathroom. Okay, next room. This is the purple room.
You
have
video on too?
Yeah, that's pretty. Huh? Now the Carltons didn't have any children. There was a house directly across the street, and it was owned by the Lake family. But the year after Mr. Carlton died, it burned to the ground. So, and this day, well, that's something.
This is the bathroom.
I love this tub.
Mom,
I had it in my house.
It's so cute. Clawfoot, Mom.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the bench is in here. This is where we heard the lady singing when we were downstairs. And we feel like maybe she was singing to her kids in the bathtub, whatever, but...
Cool.
Pretty awesome.
But this house wouldn't have had a bathroom in it originally, would it? Mm-hmm. Didn't they have outhouses back then?
Yeah.
1902?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a hole in the yard. a sophisticated hole in the yard.
A well-to-do family, they would have had it.
Okay. Yeah.
And you have to look at the bathroom downstairs because the toilet, I love the toilet, it has the box above the toilet.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
That's
yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah.
That
is so cool.
And then this was, we think it might have been the master bedroom at one time, or but it's Reich's room right now. That's what he's using, but it's pretty awesome. And we've caught a lot of shadows. We had some grids set up here, and a lot of shadows.
Mm-hmm. Those are always fun.
Hmm?
Those are always fun.
You get any hits on these in there?
A few, not a whole lot.
It was your son that was telling me. It's a wonder we didn't fall over each other trying to get outside. And we hit that second landing, there's another window.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw him again. And we just both ran down that last step and out the back door where the kitchen is.
I went all down there. Nobody out there.
Got outside, not a soul.
Awesome.
And that's where I was standing, was on that second landing the other night.
And we saw a shadow shoot back down the steps that quick.
Huh.
And then we had a tour up here, and it was me and Tony Kay and three other women. We were just kind of dark. We just had the laser grid set up here, and that was the only light. And she was kind of standing just a little further out than where Jeremy is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that door, it's heavy. But that door right behind him, I don't know what happened, but it came, everybody saw it, it came and bam, slammed in her in the back.
Wow.
And enough force that it pushed her. And she turned, she thought somebody was behind the door. And she said, what happened?
Wow.
And she looked behind the door and there was nothing behind it. But she was probably standing right where you are.
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Sacrifice yourself for the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, there has been some things happening, but I have to say.
Other than hearing the woman and the kids up here.
Yeah, I mean, when we first came here, it was constant.
Yeah.
You know, the footsteps, the knocking, the whatever.
Is it possible to overhunt a place? Do you drain the energy if you do it too much?
I don't know that it's possible to overhunt it. I think at some point, it could be maybe that the spirits
get used to you.
Not really get used to it, but they may back off.
Yeah.
They're tired.
They may get aggravated.
Exactly.
Because we was catching
all I mean, if y'all were tromping through my house all the time, you know, even after I'm
you
dead,
got strangers,
you know, that just gets old after a while.
They call it rest in peace for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strangers coming in and out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always believed it's okay to go in and do a little investigating and. We appreciate, you know, letting us come in and do whatever. But if you just keep coming back and keep coming,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think we've been here for a month.
Oh, have you? I did not know that.
We've been doing this tour every night for a week. And this is our seventh night being here. But before that, we've been here at least once a week for a month. So, you know, 9-10 times a month, they gotta get tired. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's coming to an end, and
just a couple more days, huh?
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Well, what is, like, historically speaking, like, what events have happened here paranormally? Like, is there ever been, like, a big story?
Documented,
or is it just
case of anything?
Is it just your typical
Did
stuff?
Did y'all know, like, who owned it when it was Wayne of this stuff?
Before... Other than just what we, I mean, it's hard to dig up when the house, Rock and I spent hours and hours down in the basement, musty, god-awful basement of the Chancery Court building here in Aberdeen, digging through some of the most god-awful, huge volumes of old newspapers, so fragile, if you touched it, it would just crumble to pieces.
Like what I pulled from under my
house.
Yeah,
like what.
They need to invest in microfish.
They really do. They really need somebody to hire
they need
know,
a
to do
like
that.
They need.
But we found, you know, they were, he was an alderman for Aberdeen for 25 years. They had a business in Aberdeen called the Ladies Bazaar. Just, you know, a little odd and end stuff. Was there any paranormal activity here? If there was.
Not a lot of documented.
Really, not a lot. Not a lot. What I told you is what we just learned.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But we're still digging. I wish I could tell you. That's how I know. Okay.
You know, I felt weirder in that room than I did that one, too.
Yeah, same.
I felt like I wanted to get out of that room. Like, my anxiety started, like, kicking up a little bit.
He had another, I'm going to tell you this, he had another paranormal group come in a couple weeks ago. They're also from North Mississippi. It's ran by Maggie King. I don't know her. Do you know her?
Who?
Maggie King. It's North Mississippi Paranormal something.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of them, but anyway, he had them come in, they set up their stuff, and they caught an orb, I think in the parlor room where the funerals were, but she told him, she must be psychic, I don't know, but she told him that Miss Lockhart died in that room. But I feel fine in that room.
Yeah,
but I don't know, you know, so I'm...
people feel different things.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that.
And I guess I'm just insensitive.
And I don't think I'm, like, sensitive or anything. I know that in that room I was like, all right, this is cool. I'm just going to actually turn it along. This room feels weird.
Hey, what's this back here?
This is the white door.
Yeah.
It's
like
a closet. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a linen closet. Yeah. A little linen closet.
Did y'all go in the attic?
I have to tell y'all a funny story.
You say we. Me and Mark went up there.
I went up there, so did I. We pitched up there.
Yeah.
First couple times we were here, we were like, we want to go in the attic. And he said, oh, it's too much trouble. I'm like, no, it ain't. He said, yeah, it's too much trouble. Well, when we first came for the tour, one of our other girl investigators, she was like, I don't know why you want this. And he wouldn't let us go in the basement. He has a basement. But he wouldn't let us go.
It's a little freaky.
Yeah. But one of the other girls was like, why would you let us go in the attic? Are you hiding something up there? Picking at him. He said, no, it's just the stairs are narrow and it takes, you know, I'm short, it takes a tall person. Well, we had a tall person with us on our team at the time. And Mark said, well, I'll do it, I'll pull him out. He said, all right, go ahead. So we pulled him out and went up there. Of course, there's no boards, it's just all those little
two-by-fours. You have to be careful where you sit down.
Yeah, but he did let us go up there and there's nothing up there. You know, we did as much as we could. And then when we got ready to leave, we were walking, and the basement, it was used as a coal room. You know, they used to burn coal. So that's, he let me open the door.
I'm sorry. There were some people that are fixing to have to leave in a few minutes. So.
Okay. I'm right. But they used to burn coal, you know, so that's what it is. It's just a room about this size. And
but you're not comfortable.
No, where the house, somebody's huge wolf spiders. And I know that's probably exaggerating. Let me just write that down. That big. Huge wolf spiders.
Gotta go. I gotta go see y'all later.
Yeah.
Spiders?
Yeah.
And I turned around and like,
I'll see myself out.
I'll see myself out. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I should jump out this window real quick.
Yeah, let me just.
I mean, it's big enough, that one in there.
Yeah, they were huge. On the brick wall, they were huge. Gouge.
This house just got a lot of skin here.
Gouge scratches in brick. And I'm like, I don't even think about that. And the spiders are freaky enough. Let's go.
Yeah, I feel like there's one on me right now.
Yeah, same. I'm like,
they're like, well, I guess you call them barn spiders, wolf spiders, whatever. But they,
if they're
I'm
alive,
not
I don't
kidding.
Love them.
They're,
yeah.
They were that big.
If they're alive, they were
very
that big.
Looking, yeah.
Very
Well, that would be interesting to know where the gouges came from.
That's really kind of what bothered me more than the water.
When they got gouges like this, when they're making them,
yeah.
When they're pulling them out of the mold, they get scratched off.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal is a nonprofit organization, a level-headed team with a knowledgeable background who tries to explain and debunk, not taking things solely as paranormal.
They try to help their clients with an understanding about the paranormal.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal also gives back to the community by way of sponsorships, such as this one, fundraisers for historical sites and individuals with terminal illnesses.
They strive to make their team better and make a difference.
You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/ShadowStalkersParanormal38821. They're ready to believe you. All right, we have lists. Our final list of the Halloween season.
Yes.
The last ones we will do.
Who we got? Tell them.
We have Mark's list. We have Barry Poole's list. We have Jeff Uglyshoes' list, and we have your daughter Kara's list, Anthony.
That's right.
Check. So we got four lists this time around.
Well, if we got four, let Kelly do one.
That's what I said. He could do Jeff's.
I'll do me, you do Jeff.
I'll do Barry's.
And you do Kara.
Kara Brooks, yeah.
All right.
But you have to do it in Kara's voice.
No.
Which one are we starting with? Honorable mentions, go.
Kara had no honorable mentions.
All right, what you got?
Barry Poole had The Ring, Stir of Echoes, What Lies Beneath, Poltergeist, the original, and The Strangers.
Stir of Echoes is a good one.
Yeah. I was going to add that to my
honorable mentions. I forgot about that movie.
Damn it.
And so we watched it.
See, this is why we do this,
weekend,
people.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, we was watching these
movies. We realize how bad we mess up. Who's on, you're representing Jeff Harris.
I'm representing Jeff.
Get a little closer to the mic.
Jeff's honorable mentions are Shaun of the Dead, The Gate.
Yes.
Sleepaway Camp, which, oh yeah, that was a great one. Nightmare on Elm Street. Todd Browning's Freaks from 1931. The Last Man on Earth by Vincent Price.
Nice.
Shadow of the Vampire. 28 Days Later. And 30 Days of Nights and Reanimator.
That is the longest honorable mentions list yes, ever.
But he had some great ones.
Jeff is like the the godfather of horror. Like he's
he said
a top 100 would be like better for him to do.
I wish we could have went back and I could put 30 Days of Night on mine because I completely forgot about that movie.
I've got two honorable mentions on my list that I don't even consider them horror movies, but they have such a horror element. And they're so great.
Oh, my God.
I feel bad for not even mentioning them.
You got to.
Ghostbusters.
Yes.
It's sci-fi, it's comedy, it's horror, but there's enough horror in it to where it needs to be mentioned.
Right. It's not a slasher film horror, but it was just a creepy horror.
Yeah, that's why I left Frighteners with Michael J. Fox out of mind because it
was. That was a good movie.
But that was.
Back to the Frighteners?
Well, no, what was it? What was the name of that movie?
You see what I did there?
Frighteners.
What's Frighteners? Yeah.
Was that Frighteners? It wasn't really scary, but it had a horror element to it.
That's what I was.
My other kind of off center honorable mention is Monster Squad.
Yes. Wolfman's got nards.
Okay, let me make sure.
Oh yeah, Wolfman's got nards. Pig.
Yeah, Monster Squad had all the iconic horror. Well, icons.
Yeah.
In it, it was almost kind of like. It was almost like a kids' movie that was for adults.
Yeah. But it was a kids' movie.
Sort of like the Goonies.
Yeah.
It's like the Goonies of horror.
That's a good analogy for it.
Thank you.
And really, when it came out, it introduced all the original horror movie elements to a new generation.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of passed the torch. Another honorable mention is Halloween 2. I really like it because it was the next day.
Yeah.
Unlike other horror movies, like a year later or weeks later, this is like, no, bitch, it's the same night.
Same night.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't even slowing down. We just going to keep this going. And I think that's really cool. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, I thought was really good. Freddy's Revenge. That's in my honorable mentions. The Omen. Just for that one scene when he's in the bathroom going through his hair, trying to figure out what's going on, all of a sudden you see 666. I was like, oh my God. And it started playing at me, ha ha, Tommy knows. Cheesy poofs. I was like, damn, son, that's scary. I don't care who you are. I got to honorably mention Bloodbath at the House of Death because my boy, Vincent Price.
Vincent Price.
I was wondering,
You gotta mention Vincent Price if you're gonna have a list of horror movies.
Yes.
Right.
And like I said, that's the coolest title ever. Bloodbath at the House of Death. I don't even care if the movie was good or not. It was, but I mean, it's the ultimate title.
Yeah.
It's got the curb appeal. Friday the 13th, Part 7.
Yes.
And that's all my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Thank you, good night. That's a whole
list. Yeah. That's the
whole list. I got more honorable mentions than I do.
We went all the way back to October.
I kind of like Friday the Part 13th. Hello?
I like Part 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th, Part 7, I like because it was kind of like Halloween 2, except it didn't happen the next night, but it was a continuation straight up. Like, it wasn't like.
It had connective tissue.
Yeah,
to six,
a lot. And you could tell it. You could tell it.
All right, number 10 for Kara, Anthony.
Kara's number 10 was The Uninvited.
Ah. Interesting.
Good movie.
What's Barry Poole?
Barry Poole has An American Haunting.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
Jeff Ugly Shoes has Event Horizon.
That was disturbing.
That was a really
scared me.
Scary movie.
It made me feel bad about everything.
Yeah.
Which I guess movies like that should do. My number 10 is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. When I was a kid and I rented that and I watched it by myself because I had to like hide like if I rented a rated R movie I had to like sneak
it. He's gonna say rated X.
Yeah.
Well,
those two, huh?
I don't think they had rated X movies at Radio Shack in Smithville, Mississippi. But I would go rent like a rated R movie, and I'd have to watch it before my parents got home. So of course I watched it by myself. And when that original like newsreel thing came on,
I thought it was a true story.
I was starting to question life. I was like, did this really happen?
Yeah.
And that was back before internet.
Yeah.
You couldn't Google and fact check stuff. You know, it was real to me. Damn it.
Yep.
All right, number 9.
Insidious.
Good.
Yeah.
Scary.
That's a good one.
That's pretty scary.
Barry Pools, number 9, is Psycho the Original.
Good one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Jeff Ugly Shoes, Evil Dead.
Can't argue. We talked about this last episode. Evil Dead was so good. They had like so low budget that the studio was like, hey, do that again.
here's some more money.
Yeah. Just do the whole thing over. My number 9 is The Gate.
I love it.
Has the creep factor. How'd you can make it feel kind of weird about life?
The freaking eyeball in the hand where he stabs it with a shard of glass.
Those little dudes climbing up the thing and he's falling over breaking the
wall. The guy that got sealed up in the wall. It's like, but I made it up. Well, there he is. Good luck with that.
Number 8.
Hellraiser.
Yes.
We just watched that the other day.
Yep.
It's a good one.
Barry's is Amityville Horror, the original.
Jeff's is the remake with Tony Shalhoub, 13 Ghost. Which that's a great
movie.
Yeah.
Good
movie. I didn't even know that was a remake until
I didn't either.
I'd already seen the first one.
Yep.
My number 8 is Fright Night.
Love Fright Night.
The original freaked me out, but the remake is awesome too. It's like an honorable mention built into a number.
I was disappointed in the remake just because I loved the original so much.
And those practical effects were insane. That girl with a big ass mouth.
How do you
do that in real life?
How did they do that? That's when the
without CGI, how was that even
makeup?
Done?
Like makeup painting. They did the painting on her chest.
I like that. Friday night was awesome.
What's the wrestler that does that where he paints his chest like it's his bottom of his
Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's like Finn Balor.
The demon Finn Balor, yeah. What number are we on?
7.
The Shining.
Johnny!
We've talked about The Shining. That's a perfect breakdown of
I think that was a lot
true
of
cabin
a
favorite.
A lot of people's favorites.
That's how people really go insane. That's almost like a documentary.
Yeah.
That was it.
What was Gary Brooks 7?
My 7? Oh.
How did we skip?
I just got skipped.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. The Messengers.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one.
I don't really remember that one.
I think it had the non-actor lady from Twilight in it.
Let's go back and look it up.
What's her name from Twilight?
But just saying non-actor, we
the
know.
The non-actor lady.
Yeah, she can't act.
Assuming you're talking about Kristen Stewart.
That's it. Yeah. That's her. Yeah,
does the one face. Yeah. By the way, I have her rep online right now, and they're
the female Keanu Reeves.
You don't think she can act in that movie, but you need to go back and watch Panic Room.
She was 11.
Yeah, she can act in it. Maybe the older she gets,
she forgot.
Yeah.
All right, number 7 for Jeff Ugly Shoes is Night of the Living Dead, and he's got on there corny now, but it started it all.
It's true.
It did.
That is very true.
You wouldn't have a zombie movie.
You wouldn't have Walking Dead if it wasn't for that.
Very true.
My number was 7. 7.
Yeah.
My number 7 is Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
You did that without even reading it.
Pumpkinhead, and no disrespect to the sequels after Pumpkinhead, but like that was a big budget, the first one was, and then the other ones were lower budget. Like, if the studio had invested in that franchise, like, some big money, I can't help but wonder where that would have went from there. Because, I mean, it was very underrated.
He'd have been in space next.
Pumpkinhead in space. I'm down with it. Let's go.
6.
Kara Brooks is Jason versus Freddy.
Good one.
It's actually Freddy versus Jason.
Whatever.
Freddy
versus Jason.
I used to think it was Jason versus Freddy.
I'm just reading what she wrote.
That's the Mandela effect. It used to be Jason versus Freddy, I think.
Oh, is it? Did it? I have no idea.
Yeah. Damn it, Mandela.
Damn it.
You had to go die twice. Number 6 for Barry's is Friday the 13th, Part 6. Good.
6 for Mr. Ugly Shoes is The Haunting, the remake.
The remake? Okay.
Which I didn't realize it was a remake. I thought The Haunting was actually just...
Yeah, it's a remake.
Six for me, and cue the music. The original Halloween.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Which I feel like, you know, like when I was numbering, like I made my list like a month ago. Like when this all started, I made my list, but I numbered it tonight because I just, almost all of them are interchangeable.
You can do it, yeah.
Hard to, yeah.
It was like you was telling me.
I feel like Halloween should be higher up.
Yeah, but this and being on your top 10 list, that's
a big deal.
Yeah, and I can't be like Cali that has six number fours.
Yeah. Right.
I had two number somethings. What number we on? For wrestling.
You had a bunch of number twos.
Row number five, Kara Brooks, is Child's Play.
Good one.
Yeah. Barry's is Children of the Corn Part 1.
That was his number five?
Yeah, that was his number five.
Okay.
That's pretty good one.
Yeah.
That's
good.
We watched that the other night, too.
Yeah. Number five for Jeff is The Haunting, the original.
And the reason I laughed at that is because look at my number five, Children of the Corn. Children of the freaking Corn, man. That movie is creepy. Because think about, put yourself in their shoes.
Isaac.
Like, back then, again, no cell phones, no internet.
It's weird.
That could happen.
Like, yeah.
And like Sean said, it probably does happen.
It probably did happen. Actually, we said on a previous episode that it was a found footage movie. Like Stephen King found
it. What's her name that played in it? Linda
Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton. That's exactly why those children scared her so much. That's why she decided to fight Terminators instead from then on.
Yeah, I would take children. I would take Terminators over Malachi or Isaac.
We're on number four.
Yeah.
Number four.
The Babadook.
Say that one more time.
I still haven't seen that. I've been wanting to watch it.
I haven't seen it either.
I don't know what that is.
It's on Netflix. It's like one of the top 10 scariest movies.
The Babadook.
Barry's is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know if it's original or extra.
We'll assume it's original.
Yeah.
All right, now, I want you to make fun of Mr. Ugly Shoes here. Because he's got two number fours. House on Haunted Hill, the remake. And the original, Dawn of the Dead.
I'm surprised he said The House on Haunted Hill, the remake.
Which I liked it more than the original.
Huh. I actually had a bad dream after watching that movie. I guess you'd call it a nightmare.
Oh.
All right, what are we on? What'd you say, number four?
Four,
yeah.
American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I will watch that movie right now. If any given time, if you said, hey, let's go watch American Werewolf in London, I'm going to be the first guy to like, let's go.
I got it.
I mean, I do too. I've got it in several formats.
Yeah.
It's a great freaking movie. It's just...
I still close my eyes at that one point in the woods every time.
All right, we're on three.
How's it go?
Three, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Oh, okay.
Good one.
She said that's her favorite Nightmare on Elm Street.
I can see that.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Especially like with her age.
With her age, she's 15.
That was the more modern one, and it was when Freddy was reinvented, kind
of. And that was Nancy grown up.
Yeah, still hot.
Yeah.
Nancy is just consistently hot.
Yeah.
She don't age.
Barry's is The Exorcist.
Oh, number what?
Three. Barry Poole, if you're listening to this, you're going to catch hell next week.
Well, you see why I'm laughing.
Yeah, I do see why you're laughing.
Go ahead.
Jeff's number three is John Carpenter's version of The Thing.
Jarn Carpenter.
His brother's name is Yarn.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all know I haven't seen Barry.
Right.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tonight. He's going to catch
hell. That's why I'm laughing. My number three is The Exorcist. And the only reason I put it at number three is because it's too scary to be number one.
Yeah.
It can't be the greatest horror movie of all time because it's the scariest of all time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I watched that at an age to where it
scarred you for life.
It did.
I want to eat split pea soup because of it.
I don't want to watch it again. That's how disturbing it is. It was too real. Like, all the other horror movies, even as a kid, they seemed so fictional and so far away from me. But this just seemed possible. Because I grew up in church and stuff, and, you know, talk of demons and the devil. And, like, that was the first, like, mainstream movie where they put that in the movie.
They put that in the movie. Normally you could say, oh, that's not real. Vampires ain't real.
Yeah, Jason's never going to come
chase. Yeah, they're not real.
Demons? Demons are real now. That's some real stuff. That could happen.
Kara Brooks number two is The House of Wax. I'm gonna assume since she's probably never seen the black and white. The original is going to be the remake.
Yeah. The remake was pretty creepy.
The remake was creepy.
Because I could see somebody doing that.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton died in it. That was the highlight of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Barry's number two is The Omen.
The Omen.
Cheesy boos.
All right, Mr. Ugly Shoes has two number twos. We have American Werewolf in London.
Wait a minute, Jeff Ugly Shoes did two number twos?
Ah, yes. And he has The Exorcist.
Yep.
Dude, I'm laughing at number one.
My number two. And this is who number two works for. Friday the 13th Part 6 is the best Friday the 13th movie in the franchise, yeah. Hands down. Jason lives.
I agree.
I love it. And it's not just because C.J. Graham is on this episode.
Right.
All y'all know me. Yeah, you know, that's always been my favorite.
That was the mask that he asked me to make for him, too, when I was doing the Jason mask.
Yeah, when you made the Jason mask, I wanted Part 6. Yep. Because even though I'm not going to wear the utility belt because of, you know, protruding waistline reasons. It might look a little fanny packish on my
body. Well, you could be Fat Jason. But, remember Fat Jason?
Well, I kind of did. I did a hybrid for the Halloween thing.
Number one.
Cara Brooks' number one is Scream.
Okay.
And she liked Scream. She watched the MTV.
I thought Scream was good.
MTV series Scream. She was all about Scream.
I didn't know they did a series.
MTV done a TV series of Scream. Yeah. Scream's good. It was Wes Craven.
I mean, well, the first
Wes Craven
was,
can make a scary movie. I heard. I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm not knocking.
I like Scream, and it was a great.
It quickly got redundant with the sequels.
Oh yeah, but
Barry's is Halloween Part 1. I was kind of surprised by that one.
Hey,
it's.
Hey, depending on what day of the week it is, it can easily be my number one. Yeah.
Right.
All right, what you got?
Jeff Ugly Shoes has. The Voices.
Well, thanks to Jeff Ugly Shoes, we watched that over here one night.
I liked it, but I wouldn't put it as number one.
I liked it, but it was weird. It's good, but it's weird.
Weird.
Like, I don't even look at my cat the same way now. Yeah. I'm afraid it's going to start cussing me. Like,
yeah, that was
Pig.
He would try to talk logic into you.
No, he wouldn't. Pig would be like, what?
Feed me. Pet me. Feed me. Yeah.
Have you seen The Voices yet?
I have not seen The Voices yet.
I'm going to tell you, go ahead and just take an hour and a half. And watch it.
Just watch it.
No.
It's
you'll
crazy.
Laugh, you'll cry.
You'll cuss at us. And then
you'll be like, why did I watch this? Why haven't I watched this? Like, you get all the emotions.
It's one of those on the fence movies.
I'll watch it after Martin watches Saw. And Kelly watches
it's
April,
on my list.
April Fool's Day.
Not this list.
I still got to find that. I'm glad
all
you
right,
mentioned
my
it.
Number one. The Army of Darkness.
There you go.
OMG. It's got comedy. It's got horror. It's got good acting. It's got those good special effects, but that kind of B-movie-ish kind of like vibe that makes it like organically fun to watch.
And it's still practical.
It don't have like that
too.
Big budget bullshit, you know, that makes it all about money. It came along at the perfect time.
And you can't help but love Ash's sarcasm in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. He was cocky.
Hail
was
to the
arrogant.
King, baby.
He was a moron, but he was also a badass.
Say hello
like,
to
his
boomstick.
Yeah. I mean, think about how just the one-liners alone we get from that movie.
All right, just pillow talk.
Hail to the King, baby. All right, well, hey, that does it for the list of this Halloween season.
Yeah.
Halloween. We're going to take a break from lists for a while. Yeah, even though I really enjoyed this, I don't want it to be too much.
Yeah.
So we probably won't do lists for a little while.
Next time we do lists, we need to do top five.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Because
I like we made a section for Halloween.
Yeah.
We've done one for like, the last 3 months? Seems like there's been maybe like
well,
a
we did.
We did the wrestling list, and then we did.
There's only two separate kind of lists, but there's been so many.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's fun, though. This is a good way for us to interact with our listeners. Mm-hmm. A good way for us to, like, hell, the last list segment on the last episode, I forgot how funny that was because we recorded it way before I edited it.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was editing, I was like, oh, my God, this is gold.
Yeah.
Like, this is so freaking funny.
Potty! Somebody that I used to know.
All right, well, we're still open to suggestions. It's going to be a while before we do lists again, but feel free to email us.
Somebody email
if y'all come
us
up
a
with
really
something,
good
yeah,
list.
If y'all come up with something epic, when we can't say no, we won't.
Right.
All right, before we
venture away too far from the list thing, we realized after we recorded that we missed one. Mr. Scott Fears hit us up on the Facebook page, and he gave us his list. So we're going to go ahead and let you read that off right now.
All right, here we go. All right, Scott's list is as follows. Number 10, Paranormal Activity. Number 9, Candyman. That's a really good one right there. Number 8, Lost Boys. He says, not sure if this counts as horror, but it's still one of my all-time favorites for this time of the year. Good answer. Number 7 is Amityville Horror. I don't know if he means the remake or the original, but either way, they were both still really good movies. Number 6 is Children of the Corn. Number 5, The Others. That's a good movie. I forgot about that one. The Ring is number 4. Number 3, Woman in Black. That's a creepy movie right there. Number 2, The Conjuring. And his number 1 is Poltergeist. That's awesome. Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. I'm so glad you reminded me to plug this. We went to the Ricochet Bar in Jackson, Tennessee. I actually surprised y'all.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I showed up. It was a last-minute thing. I decided to go up to Jackson, Tennessee and support all the bands. I ran into an old buddy of mine, Mr. James Malone. He's a pro wrestler. He's actually supposed to be coming on the show sometime pretty soon, but he asked me if I would plug this event they have coming up on the 11th, which is this coming Friday. No, Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
It's Fearless Championship Wrestling. They're going to be at the Red Bay Civil Defense Rescue Squad. Tickets are $10 at the door. Kids 6 through 13 are $5. Reserved front row seats are $12. Kids under 5 are free. Kids 5 and under are free. That's right. They're having a casket match for the Cruiserweight Championship. They're doing a chain on a pole match for the Heavyweight Championship. Looks like it's going to be good times. So y'all go check that out if you're in the Red Bay area. I wanted to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this Halloween season. We've been looking at the numbers on these first 4 shows that have been released, and it's been doing very well. As always, I think everybody's caught on that we put a lot of effort into Halloween, and we try to make it as fun as possible. But we try to make every show good, but
yeah,
we really turn it up during Halloween.
Well, we actually enjoy Halloween season 2 a lot, too, so... You know, we always look forward to it, even though we know it's going to be a lot of work.
We want to hear from you guys. Do y'all have some ghost stories next Halloween you want to put on the air? Let us know. Is your house haunted? Do you want us to come check it out? Do you want us to come do a show at your house? Do you want us to just come to your house? I mean, as long as you got some food and some beer.
Yeah, you got to at least have cookies.
Yeah, we got some cookies. We'll come.
Because the Greg Hamilton house has cookies. Hey, tell us what your favorite episode of this Halloween season has been and why.
We were talking about this during commercial break, but and don't worry, I'm not going to give away any spoilers whatsoever, but we've got to do something for Stranger Things after everybody gets caught up season, including you.
Yeah.
Because... And this isn't a spoiler, because he put it on Facebook, I believe. But Kill Pop Culture alumni John Anderson was on there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. It's just fun to see, you know...
people that you know and you met.
The Kill Pop Culture alum doing well. And now that I'm friends on Facebook with like Josh Turner and Matthew Ashley and Rick McCollum, like all those are, those people are staying busy.
Yeah.
And doing really, really good things. So I might need to, get old John back on here and just do a Stranger Things recap now that he's actually been on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't help but wonder when we interview him, he said, you know, I got some stuff coming up that I can't talk about. And that was just a few months ago, and yeah. I don't know when they filmed, but I can't help but wonder if he was, you know,
they probably
that might have been one
the,
of the things he was thinking,
yeah, that
about it,
yeah,
that he wouldn't tell us.
Definitely. And you know, Josh Turner's daughter, Kaylee Turner, was on this season too.
That's right. I thought I remembered you saying that.
Yeah, she was on there.
Like I said, there was a lot of things that we were supposed to do this Halloween season that we didn't get to do. A lot of things we did get to do that weren't planned, and it all worked out. I think this has been a, you know, I don't want to say the same thing over and over, but I think it's been a really good Halloween season. I feel good about it.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, and another thing, if you guys have somebody out there that you're interested in us maybe trying to get an interview with, shoot us a name or something. We'll try our best to get them on the show. You know, that's all we can do. We can't say, yeah, we'll get them, but we can try.
Yeah, it's a lot like fishing when you're trying to get interviews. You put a lot of lines in the water. Sometimes you get a bite. Sometimes you land a big one. Sometimes you don't get nothing.
Yeah. It happened.
Yeah, one thing I've learned is you usually don't necessarily get a no. You just get a, I'm not going to answer you at all.
Yeah.
So what do y'all think about this standing up thing?
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it because I don't feel that I hear the chairs moving and stuff.
I feel like it makes us focus more.
Yeah.
Because we're not relaxed. I mean, we're not just chilling in our seats.
Yeah.
We're working.
Right.
We're not here.
And we're not propping on the bar, you know?
Yeah, we need to get back to that again. We haven't done that in a while.
Right.
Of course, we've been doing a lot of phone interviews, so we have to come over here to the computer to do that. I'm glad I brought that up. I'm glad I reminded me. One of the things that... There's several things that we're going to work on podcast-wise during this little break. And one of those things is that I haven't ever been able to Skype interviews out here because my internet's been so crappy. And it's still crappy. Don't worry. I'm not going to give AT&T any credit. Well, I'll give them a little credit. It's better, but it's still doing the same thing. But it's doing that bad thing at a faster speed. So it's not good. It's just not as bad. The ship isn't sinking as fast. Put it through that way.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm going to do some experiments because I could get... Like, people are like, why are you in the Stone Age having people call in on your phone and, you know, like old school? Which, I don't know, I kind of like the vintage sound of people calling in a little bit. But
yeah.
It's a lot clearer if you can get them to Skype or Facebook or, you know, through the computer. A lot of people do podcasts. Like, I know several podcasts I listen to that have two or three hosts that are in different states. And it sounds like... in the same room because
yeah.
They're doing it over internet. So now that my internet's a little better, I'm going to try to see if we can start incorporating some of that. There's some more stuff that's like YouTube channel related that we're going to be working on, and there's some more stuff that I don't want to talk about yet because I don't want to get my hopes up and it not work out. So I'll talk about it when it starts coming to fruition.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we do have Kill Pop Culture shirts in. We've already ran out of 2X again. So I got to get some more of those. But we still have... Do we have small? No. We got mediums, large, and extra large.
Yeah. I think that's
right. We may have a 3X. I thought we ordered at least one 3X.
I'll look in the box in a minute.
Yeah. Let's do this outro first. Although I'm not in a big hurry to go. You know, every time we're fixing to have a break, we always drag our feet about signing off.
Yeah.
Let's just listen to this music for a second. Go get your beer, man. Damn. Just because you're standing up don't mean you can't relax. Yeah, right. Toast. Toast me. We're toasting. Let's toast our listeners.
Toast our listeners.
To a good Halloween season. Here. We're not going to tell them what we're drinking. They might feel sorry for us and send them some money if we tell.
We're drinking beer.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. We're drinking beer. I love how we had the Jason theme this Halloween. And we did not plan that, by the way.
No.
I had no idea you were going to up and start making Jason masks.
I didn't either.
I mean, had no idea that CJ Graham was going to respond to my message very promptly, by the way. Right. Like, that dude is great. Like,
yeah.
Like, and, you know, boom, that was a great interview. You know, I'm going to, you know, confess our fanboy right here. It's funny when I was editing this, because as soon as that interview was over, I didn't hit stop on the recorder, and you can hear me and you celebrating. Yes. Like, I think I even heard a high five.
Yeah,
like,
that was
like, oh my God, it was an awesome interview.
That was awesome.
And I was like, oh, I'm still recording. But I edited that out of the podcast.
Well, maybe, you know,
maybe that'll be a patron feature later.
The thing about the time travel deal with us is we did that interview early on in the month, and
yeah, like the very beginning of October.
Yeah, and after we did that interview was actually what got me wanting to do the Jason masks.
Oh, see, so, I didn't make that connection. I thought you started doing them before the interview.
No, no, I didn't. I didn't start
doing them.
I'm
pretty sure you did.
No.
You may not have started doing them production-wise.
Well, I did. Yeah, I did.
You had one you were going to do for you. Yeah. And then we had the whole Halloween party that we all went as Infinite Jasons.
Yeah. You were part 6, I was part 7.
Kel, I was 3.
Sean was 9.
I thought he was 8. No, he was 9.
No, the remake. He was remake.
He was the that, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you guys should have been there for that, though.
And we did, you know what we didn't do? Which it might have been an overdose of Jason.
We should have took a big group picture.
We did plenty of the Jason movies in the lists. But I wanted to do a rundown of all the Jason movies, like a quick one, or like go through each one.
Yeah.
And just a brief recap of all the Jason movies. Because we watched a lot of them this Halloween season.
I've watched all of them except for, like, Jason X.
That's one thing that I always plan on doing, and sometimes I don't do because I get so caught up doing other stuff. But this Halloween season, I watched a lot of horror movies. And
all the
good ones that I've been wanting, like the old classic scary ones. Well, I mean, like, the old classic.
I was
like Jason and Freddy and Halloween and all those.
I got here before you did this evening in the studio, and when you walked in, I was watching stuff about all the Hellraiser movies because Halloween's not over for me.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about cosplay is none of us going to start that. Halloween gets to happen all throughout the year more for me.
Too bad they don't give you candy when you're cosplaying.
No, but they gave us candy at our table last year.
At HorrorCon, yeah. Well, they did the trick-or-treat at HorrorCon.
Yeah. So, see? They started early, too.
That's another thing I got to, you know, give it to our listeners. Those HorrorCon episodes are still going through the roof. I've lost count. Like, they're all, you know, well into the triple digits on downloads and still climbing. And they're not slowing down. So, I guess the word's finally getting out through, I don't know, through hashtag or however things get out that... You know, we had some pretty big names on there. Like,
yeah.
I mean, come on, like Michael Berryman and Bill Moseley and R.M. Hyoff and John Anderson.
Yeah. Ooh, and it's always awesome, too, whenever, I mean, because I know, I think John Anderson did this, too, is like when we post it on Facebook and then he sees it because, you know, he gets tagged in or whatever, then he reshares it and that's more listeners getting exposed to it.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't know how the hashtag thing works. I mean, I know the general idea of how it works, but I don't know the inner workings of hashtags.
Well, I just know
it gets people's attention somehow on Instagram and
Twitter,
social media in general.
Twitter, you know, because like if I hashtag stuff, I link it. Like if I do a photo or something from our Instagram page, the Kill Pop Culture one, I share it to Facebook, but I share it to Twitter too. And anytime you hashtag, I know like people hashtag on Twitter like all the time, but it picks up all that and it registers it and it sends it out to all these other people that are interested in all that.
And you know, I'm not real big on the Twitter machine, but I have noticed, of course, us being from the Southeast, we have a lot of listeners in the Southeast, you know, how concentrated, you know, especially in the North Mississippi area. And most of them interact with us through Facebook.
Yeah.
But, like, the people way outside of the Southeast are mostly through Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, we get a lot of Twitter action from abroad.
You know,
me and you were looking at the demographic thing. We figured out how to pull the map up and click on, like, some of these places, like, how do they even know about us?
Right.
Some of these countries.
You know, and it's funny too because it does the same thing on Instagram. Like our Instagram page, like we get fans on our Instagram page from like cosplayers from Japan, and you know, we get some from Germany. So shout out to all you guys all over the world, wherever you're at. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to check out our Instagram page and our photos and Twitters and podcasts.
If you're listening to us internationally, definitely yes. First of all, thank you. That's awesome. Because it's not that difficult to get your friends and family to listen to your show, but people in another country, that's a big deal. And if you don't mind, drop us a line sometime and tell us how you heard about us, because I'd like to know. All right, this outro is going to wind up being 20 minutes. We don't shut up.
But you know how we are before breaks.
Well, like I said, another thing I think we've proven.
We're coming back.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do something for Stranger Things pretty soon. We're going to do something. And the reason I'm waiting is because I want everybody to catch up. So when I do something Stranger Things, it's going to be spoilery.
Justice League. We'll do a spoiler-free version.
Yeah.
Or spoiler-ish free version.
We'll announce on the description whether it's spoiler-free or not. We always do.
I'm looking forward to getting back into the KOJ mode.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I wish we had the resources to do both simultaneously, yeah. But if one of them is always going to suffer, and there's seasons for both, I think. It's that time for an album cycle to start up for us, so we've got to focus our attention on that for a while. And it takes a lot of my focus away. And my main role in the podcast actually isn't just standing here talking. That's the easy part. My main role is the editing.
Yeah, he's the editor of it. And that's...
That takes...
I've watched him do that one time, and it scared me.
Yeah, y'all were standing here talking, and I was like, I'm just going to sit over here and edit this podcast because I need to get it out. And I don't know how long I'd have been sitting here. It had been like probably almost an hour, and I was like, I'm 10 minutes in.
Yeah. It took you a long time to do that. And you know, I've kind of started picking up on the trying to record and do little rough edits here and there with the music side of it with the band. I don't mind that so much because there's music involved and it's not just us talking, and I know how to make music sound not stupid, but I don't know how to make us sound not stupid. So kudos to you.
I don't know if I've ever mastered that, but I think some people like that we sound stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe it makes them feel smarter.
Yep.
I love listening to Kill Pop Culture because I feel really intelligent
afterwards. I feel good about myself.
So y'all take this time to catch up, go back, listen to old episodes again. I know I actually do that. And now that we've got this many episodes under our belt, I can go back and listen to an episode, and it's almost like I'm listening to it the first time. Like, I tried to go back and listen to some of the previous, like the first year's Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I forgot how awesome this movie was.
Yeah.
With like so-and-so, like, or I forgot this thing we did. And I forgot how funny that was. And I forgot that happened. And it's fun to go back and reflect. We have archives.
Yeah, and hopefully eventually for some of that stuff, like especially the old Halloween stuff where we do still have like photos from and things like that, like, our patrons might get to see some of that down the line.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've actually been, and it surprises me in a good way. I mean, like I've always said, I'm shocked just in general that people listen to this, much less people want to support it. And we've actually had people hit us up and say, hey, when are you going to start the patron thing?
Yeah.
Where you integrate Patreon into the system and people can support, and I just want to do that right. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. If somebody's going to invest in the podcast, I want them to like really get more than their money's worth and be glad they did it.
Yeah.
I don't want them to go, well, you know, I invested in K-pop culture. I guess I'm a patron. Is it patron or patron?
Tomato, tomato.
I guess I'm a tomato. But I don't ever really see anything out of it, and I'm like, no, I want to be prepared for when we launch this, that the people that are involved in it are going to be very handsomely rewarded for their their support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, one more toast before we go to our listeners.
One more toast to the listeners.
I hope there's some of our listeners that are having a cold one right now that, like, toasted their phone or...
But if you're working on a production screen, if you're working on a production line right now,
if you're at work right now and you just toasted us some alcohol, I hope your foreman doesn't see you.
Yeah.
If you're working, let me get my thermos. I put some whiskey in there.
If you're working on a production line, don't toast us right now because you don't need to lose a
finger or a job.
If you're operating
heavy machinery, please do not pull out a flask and toast us right now. Save it for when you clock out.
You can always go back and rewind and toast us again.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, we're not going to run our mouths anymore. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back soon. Catch up on the podcasts. Let us hear from you.
Don't be a stranger.
Thanks for listening. We've been broadcasting from high atop the first and only floor of Kill J headquarters, the Kill J Ranch.
It's not the only floor anymore, remember?
I haven't said that in a while. I don't remember to forget.
Yeah, but it's not the only floor anymore. We got two now.
Just because you've got an attic doesn't mean you have a two-story house.
Depends on if you make it a
room.
I
didn't mean to put that...
Depends on if you make it
a room. I didn't mean to put that heavy, like... Burdensome information on you.
Well, it's my room because I'm the only one that goes up there.
Okay, fine. That's your... This is now...
I get the second floor.
Okay, now I get to say we're broadcasting live, high top...
The two-story.
The first of it's two floors. I say that is not unlike it.
Yeah, that skip. Retake.
Broadcasting live from high atop the first and only floor of Kill J headquarters at the Kill J Ranch. This has been another episode of Kill Pop Culture. Thank you for listening. Love you, bye.
Love you, mean it.